Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Reed, Pastor Tay here again. Pastor Adams is still away, so we are just praying that he has a wonderful rest and time of rejuvenation. Looking forward to having him back for the next week. But hey, we're in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Here the church is kind of being formed. Jesus said he was going to build his church, and he left it in the hands of frail human beings, which is a scary thought when you think about it. You think about the guys he left left it in the hands of Peter and James and John. You know, you kind of read the Gospels and you shake your head and you go, you know, those aren't the guys that I would have put in charge of the church.
No. And it reminds me, though, of Jesus' promise. I was reading it the other day in John when he's praying and he says, if I go away, it's better for you that I go, for then I will send the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that means Jesus' work is being done not only in, you know, the apostles,
right,
but also in Stephen, you know, who's not an apostle. And that means that the Holy Spirit, the work of the church, the work of Jesus in the kingdom of God is being done in your life and in my life as we submit to and cooperate with God's Holy Spirit living in us.
It's awesome. You know, you think about the work of the whole of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's part of the triune Godhead, the three mm-hmm. in one. He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. And he was at work in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, all the way through the Old Testament. He was working in people's lives, dynamically working throughout the formation and the history of Israel, and just, you know, working in God's redemptive plan to mm-hmm. bring salvation to the entire world. There was a promise that was made to Abraham that said, hey, through you, Abraham, your seed is going to bless the whole world, bless everyone. And that seed is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so here we pick it up in Acts chapter 8. Stephen has just been stoned, just a deacon in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he just shared with them a history lesson and reminded them that the person that they murdered, Jesus, was the Messiah, was the one that they were waiting for.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stand it. And so they took him out of the city, they stoned him. And while that was happening, Saul was there giving approval to his death. There was a young man named Saul. And so picking it up in chapter 8, verse number 1, we're going to pick it up in kind of the second half of that verse, where it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. What do you think of that verse?
Well, on first blush, you would think this sounds really bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going well. And it may even be reminiscent of our own times.
Sure.
And how Christians sometimes feel in our culture that we are under, I wouldn't say we feel persecuted, although
right.
there are areas in the world, and I don't at all want to compare us with those
right.
where brothers and sisters in Christ are persecuted
Definitely.
For their faith. But we've begun to feel in our culture a bit more pressure than we have in the past concerning our faith and
sure.
public expression of that faith, and even businesses who yeah. you know, and business owners who are being suppressed because of they don't want to participate in things like making cakes for same-sex marriages
right.
and things like that. So we may begin to feel some of this,
yep.
but this is not a bad thing, because the last time we heard the phrase Judea and Samaria was in Acts 1:8, right?
Yeah.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. Where? You're going to be witnesses in Judea,
yeah.
and then Samaria, and then, you know, to other uttermost parts of the earth. This is where this is going. And so now we're getting a glimpse of, oh, maybe this isn't actually outside God's plan.
Right.
Maybe this is part of what he's doing.
You know, a lot of people would just read over that and skip those words. Oh, yeah, just a couple of places. Okay, let me get to the good stuff. But you're exactly right, because that's verbatim what Jesus said. You're going to in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria.
Right. They've been in Jerusalem. Time
right.
to move on.
Yeah. So Jesus is, you know, Jesus is saying, okay, I'm going to get you out of town. And you know, obviously, I don't think like Jesus, but and he's not sitting on his throne going, man, these people just aren't moving out of town. Maybe I need to stir things up a little bit.
You know,
But in light of everything, I heard one preacher talk about it this way, that there was a fire in Jerusalem. You know, there was good stuff happening. The 3,000 people got saved. You know, Peter preached.
Yeah.
And so there was a fire. And when there's a fire, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the Jewish people said, we're going to put this fire out. And they started stomping on the fire. And what happens when you stomp on a fire, sparks can fly and you go in all directions and
mm-hmm.
start more little fires.
Yep.
And so that's how I heard this preached one time, where this is like they started to stomp on the fire.
Yeah.
And all they did, instead of putting out the fire in Jerusalem, it just started
right,
more
right.
fires. And
yeah.
so now they're like, oh, come on. Now we got to go chase after them and try to. So there was a great persecution that started. And like
yeah.
you said, you know, it's not fun.
No.
It wasn't an exciting time for them. And they weren't, you know, so a lot of them had to bug out of town. Verse number 2, godly men buried Stephen, and they mourned deeply for him because there was something about Stephen. He was just
God used him, yeah.
Yeah, in a powerful way. And there must have been just a great spirit about him. And mm-hmm. so you know when you're in the presence of people like that, you can sense that. And so they mourned deeply for him, and they saw what happened to him. But Saul, here he comes again. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So this Saul guy doesn't sound like a very nice guy. You got
no,
Stephen,
not at all.
Men mourning for him,
great
and
guy.
Saul going out arresting people.
Right.
I think about this guy, and it just gnaws at me to think here's a man, Saul, who we know knows the Old Testament. He knows Scripture. He was born and raised in the synagogue.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how they missed it. I don't know how they missed that Jesus was the Messiah, and yet somehow they did.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that apparently everyone did at some level. Yeah. Even Jesus' apostles missed.
That's true.
Exactly what was going on, and some of them betrayed him or ran away in the moment. They didn't see. They took it's sort of cherry picking, and we do this a lot, right? They took what they liked from the Old Testament, and Jesus. They didn't get it until Jesus came back, and it says in Luke on the Emmaus road, he's traveling, and he told them everything from the Old Testament that was pointing toward him. They needed him to open their eyes. And I think that Saul is a really good example of this, because it's not as if Saul was, you wouldn't think Saul's a bad guy. In fact, the Bible never really attributes what Saul does to the church to him being somehow messed up and just wanting to hurt God or being intentionally against God. In fact, he thought he was doing good things. And Jesus warned there'll be people who think they're doing what's right when they cast you out of the synagogue and they're dragging you off. And Saul was one of those. He thought he was doing the right thing. And it wasn't until Jesus stopped him and until he encountered Jesus on the road that finally he got it. And so it's just a reminder of the grace of God in our lives, that it's not as if we're kind of good, we're generally good people, and we generally get it.
Sure.
And then, one day, Jesus kind of slaps us on the wrist and says, okay, now you need to be better. You need to be a little bit better. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is, I was once lost, and Jesus interrupted my life, and now I'm found. I was once, like we said it last week, part of the domain of darkness, but now God, by His grace, has transferred me to the kingdom of His beloved Son.
I was blind.
Now I
can see.
Right.
And that's a big part of it. Like you said, they were blind to the fact of who Jesus really was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that claim to be Messiah. There's people right now. You can Google Messiah, and there's people that claim to be the Messiah.
Right.
So, that's nothing new either. And so you try to put all the pieces together and figure it out. And at some point, there's still this blindness. I think Paul talks about it in Corinthians, where he says it's almost like a smoke screen. It's like a shroud that covers the eyes.
Yep.
And until the Spirit of God lifts that, and until there's revelation and a light that shines and the eyes of our heart are enlightened, we can't recognize the
The Holy Spirit. Has to be at work, convicting and convincing people about Jesus.
So, and once again, this persecution, Jesus told them it was going to come.
Yeah.
He says, blessed are you when you are persecuted, and people say, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. He says, blessed are you because they did it to the prophets. They hated me, they're going to hate you. So it's not like Jesus said, didn't tell them that it was coming.
That's true. And I heard one author put it this way. He said, basically, do we really think that the way we continue to with the kingdom of God is going to be different than the way that it started, which was Jesus died. And so when we're on earth and he's told us we're going to face opposition, do we really think that it's going to come without some kind of cost involved, without some kind of suffering involved? And that began, we see it with Stephen when he is killed. And yet through his suffering, we now see the church beginning to expand and grow.
Well, even right after the day of Pentecost, right, Peter and John going into the temple another day, they get arrested right away. So, the early Christians, they're getting arrested, they're getting stoned, they're getting persecuted, they're having to, leave home, leave what they've known, go to other areas. And so, there's, when you choose to follow Christ, when you choose and when you recognize and the smoke screen comes off and your eyes are open and you spiritually are born again, there may be some repercussions in your own personal life, in your own family that you have to deal with.
I would say in most cases, there absolutely will be. We all give something up when it comes to following Jesus, not because that earns us salvation, but because, like you said, I believe it was probably in last week's radio broadcast that you mentioned there are two kingdoms.
Right.
You're going to be part of one or the other. And if you switch sides, people on the other side that you were formerly a part of tend to not like that so much. And so I talk to a number of people who it's family. You know, it's family for them. They begin going to church, and suddenly Sunday morning becomes the most important morning of the week for family time. They were never together before as family on Sunday morning, but somebody gets saved, their life begins to change, they want to spend their time in the house of God on Sunday morning, and suddenly, no, you need to be with family. Since when? But that's the sort of thing. You switch teams, and suddenly the other team is not so excited.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing, but Jesus told us this stuff is going to happen, so you need to be ready for it.
Yeah.
So picking it up in verse number 4 of Acts chapter 8, it says, those who had been scattered, they hid under rocks, they hid in the caves, and they climbed trees. No, that's not what it says. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how cool is that? You know, they become carriers of the message of Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen from the dead. So, you know, the initial message of the church, and it's still the message today, is Christ crucified and risen from the dead.
And it's so interesting that persecution doesn't stop them, not only in terms of, like, they weren't stopped by the people trying to persecute them, but it didn't threaten them. They didn't think, well, Jesus must not be true, because if he was true, we wouldn't be persecuted.
Right.
They didn't think that. They understood the message of Christ was true, regardless of how the world was treating them for it. And in fact, may even this persecution is some kind of confirmation of the words of Christ and his purpose and plan for people.
Now, you think about that. Here it is, approximately 2,000 years later, and we are still preaching that message. We are still declaring the message of who Jesus Christ is, what he did, and we're not dissuaded from it. We still believe wholeheartedly that Jesus lived, died, was buried, risen from the dead, you know, ascended into heaven, and he's our soon coming king. We believe that he's coming back, because if he did all those other things, he's bound to keep that one promise. He says, listen, if I go to prepare a place for you so that I can come back so that you can be with me forever, John chapter 14. And like you said, here they go. If it wasn't true, if the message of Jesus, if Jesus didn't exist, if he really didn't die on a cross, if for some reason, you know, his body was stolen and they faked the resurrection. Okay, here a guy just gets stoned. A guy just loses his life for that. And now a persecution starts. I don't know how many people would still kind of believe that, but I guess there's people that believe lies. And
there are people that believe lies. There are very few people that believe lies that that end up causing them suffering. There are some, but there are very few people that will knowingly believe a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And so
okay.
the early church, they have the eyewitnesses of the apostles.
Right.
At the very least, you have to say the apostles believe that they saw Jesus alive.
Right.
Because if they don't, they're not getting anything out of this.
No.
This is not benefiting them. Like they're not making a lot of money here. They're not getting that jet that TV preachers are after. They're not getting the jet, man.
Oh, that's a painful one. Okay. No, you're exactly right. They weren't in this for the money. They weren't in it for the new donkey or whatever. It just wasn't there. But they went out and they preached the same message that just saw their friend killed for.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
They had to believe it.
Yeah. So.
Or you'd never do it.
You'd never do it. You wouldn't do it. So I believe wholeheartedly in the empty tomb. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is not in the tomb. Jesus is not hanging on the cross. When I see some things with, you know, Jesus still hanging on the cross, he's not on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not. And he's anxiously anticipating the return to catch his bride away. That's us, the church, believers in him. And that's what these people went out and preached. So Philip went down to a city in Samaria, and he proclaimed the Christ there. He proclaimed Jesus there and the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. So there, miracles, the preaching of the word and miracles caught people's attention and brought them to a place of, hey, something's going on here.
Yeah.
So he says, with shrieks, I love this one, verse number seven, with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. So you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, and you see Jesus doing all of this miraculous work. And now, just another guy.
Yeah, Philip.
Philip, full of the Holy Spirit, goes out, and he starts praying for people, preaching the message of Jesus Christ. And miracles start happening.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible the way the Holy Spirit uses these people. And most of the characters that we find in Acts and in the New Testament that are taking the gospel, especially to the Gentiles, but Samaria and then even outside, just outside the confines of Jerusalem, most of them, other than Peter in Acts 10, are not apostles.
Yeah,
that's not to say the apostles didn't do missionary work, but that a lot of what they did was function as a foundation for the church, as headquarters as such in Jerusalem, it seems. Now, there are some that we have reports, at least historically, that are legendary, at least in some sense, that Thomas went to India and other places. Right. So it's not that the apostles didn't minister, but the ones we have in the scripture, you know, Saul, he's made an apostle, but he's not one of the 12.
Nope.
You've got Philip, you've got Stephen, you've got Barnabas, you've got people who are being sent out to do missionary work in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And this is just an encouragement to us. God wants to use you. He wants to use all of us in the power of the Holy Spirit to expand the kingdom of God. And even here, we see Philip as he preaches, signs and wonders are being done.
It's exciting because when you think about Acts chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, men, women, young and old. The Holy Spirit is for you. It's for today. We talked about it. That promise is for you, your children, for as many as are far off who are called by the Lord. So you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit and moved by the Holy Spirit to do great work. So this is Pastor Reed and Pastor Tay wishing you a great, great day. Go out there and work in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you.